Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Daniel, and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. You should know how to use your Bible. That's what you're aspiring to. The Bible says that Daniel prayed with his friends, then was the secret revealed. Love that. It's like, just so simple. You know, God says, there you go. Can you imagine they're praying and Daniel's got nothing. He can't go study anything. He's just got prayer. So he says, I'm going to lay down right now. And suddenly, who knows, maybe he had the very same dream, but he got it with footnotes. Okay, he knows what's in there and he knows why the king has seen this. So Daniel answered and blessed the Lord. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord in verse 20, forever and ever. And as we look into the passage a little further, the Bible says of God, He, verse 22, revealeth deep and secret things and knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. Do you know that's true about COVID? Do you know that's true about the deep state? Do you know that's true about America? Do you know that's true about all of the spiritual darkness that's involved in this world mess that we're looking at? Do you know God knows the light? He knows the way through. He always knows the way through. You just need to stay close to Him. And I believe God is knocking the rattle out of our hands. Okay, He's saying, don't be turning the clicker on. I saw one guy who was writing somewhere. He said something like this. He said, man, I can't see any more movies. He said, every time I see a liar, I see a pedophile, he's going through the list. I can't watch any of them anymore. I see a criminal. I see an abuser. It makes it very difficult to like your world like you once did. You don't like that. So sometimes you put your head down. No, I want my movies. But then they keep coming. They keep coming. They keep coming. And you say, I can't do this anymore. I'm just going to open my eyes. I'm going to look. I'm going to see. And I'm going to understand. These people are the people that blaspheme the holy name by which you and I are saved. These people are the people who exploit people you look at and think are innocent and helpless. They're children in the womb many times. These are the people who are saying, I'm going to vote for that. These are the people who get up and say, I believe it's my right. I've had 5 abortions. Loved every one of them. It was the best experience of my life. That's been said. And these are the people that are governors of states that say, we're going to let a little baby live for a few hours while we talk about whether this parent wants to keep him or not. You got 2 governors, one in Virginia and one's up in New York. These people are just saying it. The guy who was saying it is a governor who's a doctor. He was a doctor. And what you see is you just can't see the world and love it anymore. Love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. For all that is of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and its fashion and form is passing away. You see, we're seeing it now. It's hard to love it anymore. Let your eye fall down to verse 26. Then the king answered and said to Daniel, he says, art thou able to make known unto me the dream that I've seen and the interpretation? And he says, yes. He says, I can. He says, but it has nothing to do with me. He says, I can't do it. Your soothsayers can't do it. Verse 28, it says, but there's a God in heaven that reveals the secrets and make it known to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what shall be in the latter days. You might underline those words because that's the sense of the dream. What shall be in the latter days, thy dream and the visions of thy head upon my bed are these. As for thee, O king, came into thy mind upon my bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets make it known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation. You see what he just did there? He just gave God the credit for answering his prayer. God, you don't want us dead. I believe you don't want us dead right now. I believe you've got a use for us, and I think you've got something you want us to do. And so we're asking you to show us this dream. And he just said to the king, we didn't get this answer because we were so holy or so spiritual or so wise. It was simply because God didn't want us dead. I want you to know, God didn't want us dead. Isn't that powerful? Think about that. If God wants me dead, guess what? No power on earth can help stop that train from coming through. There is an appointed unto man wants to die, and after this is judgment. Guess who knows when those times are? Just God, right? God alone knows. And so he says, God, we're asking on this basis, and here's where they found purchase for their prayer, and he brings glory to God before the king. Before he ever tells him anything, he's not so excited about the information as he is about his God. And that ought to be the way it is with you and me. We ought to be more excited about our Jesus than about anything else in our lives. And he says, so I'm going to make known the thoughts of thine heart. Verse 31, it says, behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. Now, you guys heard about that new shape-shifting giant? Look it up. Shape-shifting giant stands 10 stories high. It's pretty much very close to the same size that we're going to hear about in chapter 3 about the image that Nebuchadnezzar is going to build. About the same size. So we got a giant in the land now. But that's another story right here. It's just interesting you have the connectives. But the Bible says you saw a great image, and its brightness was excellent. It stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. It was awe-inspiring. It says, the image of the head was fine gold, the breast and arms were silver, and his belly and thighs were brass. His legs were of iron, his feet were part of iron and of part of clay. And thou sawest until a stone was cut out without hands that smote the image upon his feet that were iron of clay and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, the broken pieces together. And they became, look at this, like chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the great image became a mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, unpacking it, we're going to do in a moment. But in this verse, I find it fascinating that the most prominent, most awesome, most awe-inspiring kind of realities of worldwide kingdoms are going to be like chaff. Chaff is that little husk of the corn. There's that little husk out there. It just floats away. Just gone. Just gone. Just nothing. That's what's going to happen. That's not a dream I had. It's one God gave to Nebuchadnezzar so Daniel could tell us all today. Want to talk about dreams? This is a dream. And this is what's going to happen. Your world is on notice that this is going to happen. There will never be another world empire after this final empire rises up. And the Bible says that this is the dream in verse 36, and we will tell you the interpretation. It says in verse 37, thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the Lord of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. Wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Hence, worldwide empire. And he says, you are the head of gold. There's something to be said about Babylon, which some people don't understand, and that is that in Babylon, you actually have a storyline in the histories that are so profound. And the storylines actually involve the fact that this was known as the glory of all kingdoms. They, in the times of Babylon, were the holders of one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was called the Hanging Gardens. I remember when Ryan was getting ready to go over to Iraq. We were driving him over and everything, and we were going to get to the planes. And I'm saying, you know what? You're going to be right in the Babylonian area. He said, what? I said, right where Nebuchadnezzar was, right where Babylon was, that's where you're going. His whole disposition changed. He now had his eyes in his head. He's going to be looking for some stuff and enjoying seeing some of the antiquity that might have been available there. He actually got a picture with one of the guards from the Iraqis that were on their side, and they were taking a picture in, I think it was Saddam Hussein's office. Kind of cool. So what I'm saying to you is that there's a real place. There's a real time. It's antiquity. It was known as the glory of all the kingdoms. They had music playing constantly in their midst. Sounds a lot like us down here now, right? Everywhere we go, music in the store. I was over at that country western store yesterday. Made me want to get some boots, but I didn't. I was looking for some work gear over there. But there's one right over here on Lexington Spring Mill. It's a store, and they had the country music playing. And it had it all. It had the big belt buckles and all that. No matter where you go, if you go to eat, there's music playing. Go to the grocery store, you know. I noticed that during the pandemic, they didn't play any music. My wife was like, why is it so morbid in here? And then she realized there's no music playing. I don't know if they're playing it again over at Meijer, but they weren't playing it. On the contrary, over here at Walmart, they were playing knee-slapping music out on the front. As you walked up, you felt like you were going somewhere happy. I don't know. But it's interesting how they had music everywhere and how they had the head of gold. He had so much opulence in that city. It's said that he actually had his own dragon. You say, I don't believe in dragons. You don't believe in dragons? Well, the Bible talks about them in the book of Job. It talks about a Leviathan, fire-breathing dragon. It talks about a behemoth. Look them up. There's your dinosaurs. They don't call them dinosaurs. That's a coined word from the 1800s. It means terrible lizard. These were real things. And he had one. And they actually have pictures of it embedded into the bricks and carved into their stone. And it's believed he had one. And there was a 13th chapter that some had added in the Apocrypha that talked about Bel and the dragon. Beyond that, it was just a very opulent, very rich, very wealthy, very powerful kingdom. You are the head of gold, the Bible says. Verse 39, it says, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall rule over all the earth, and a fourth kingdom, which shall be strong as iron. Now, he just blew through this. Other chapters, they'll talk about leopards, they'll talk about bears, they'll talk about all kinds of things, but he's not really emphasizing that. This is what we might call the first revelation of this whole unfolding of how the plan's going to be, so he gives it to us quick. We know it's the Medes and the Persians that will bring them down. We know it's Greece that is the third kingdom. We know it's Rome that is the fourth kingdom. So you have these four sections of this image he sees. They all represent world empires. Okay, that's where we are. And it says in verse 40, the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. That's what it's going to be. It's going to do it like it's its job. He's talking about Rome here. Ancient Rome, he says, they're going to be like iron. You can think of iron in your mind's eye when you think of maybe bars on a cell door. You know, it's just like, this is not moving. I mean, maybe one of those bars on the windows. There's no moving this, okay? We see the old westerns where they get a couple horses and rip it out of the mortar or whatever, but the iron ain't going nowhere, all right? They're not some strong man going to go like this, okay? Unless God supernaturally endows them like Samson. But what we have here is they're going to be like iron, nothing. They're going to be immovable. And that is Rome's pedigree. They were there for a long time. They existed for a long time. And as you know, they fell because of internal rot, not because of an external enemy. They got so debauched and so wicked that they actually destroyed themselves. It sounds very familiar, does it not? The Bible says that it breaks in pieces and bruises. That's what it did. It subjugated everything that came before it and came toward it and came against it. And it was very powerful and nearly undauntable. But finally it fell, it did. And the Bible says in verse 41, and whereas thou saw the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. For as much as thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Now, this is a very interesting thing we can't parse too deeply because we don't have the time. But just understand that what we're talking about here is a revived Roman Empire. The Roman Empire, iron. Okay, that's the legs, but it's the feet and the 10 toes that are miry clay mixed with iron. And what you have, therefore, is a division in the midst of this revival of the Roman Empire. If you were to go over to the European Union's gathering place, I don't know what they call it now. They've had a couple of them, and now they're at a centralized location. They have a woman riding a beast out front as a sculpture. Their building is built like a Tower of Babel. They understand their history. These are people who are trying to bring together something of their heritage as Roman-esque. They're looking at trying to revive so much of the spirit of it all that they will do whatever they can to become a power again. Right now, they're all on their knees over there, every one of them. They just hope that America comes back. They just hope that something can happen because right now, we're all brought to heel. But do not despair fully because right now, China's brought to heel too.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.